All right, everybody, welcome into the Fifth Dimension podcast with me, Evan McDermott. For this episode, I was joined by my brother, Asa Eldridge, in studio up here in Bozeman, Montana. And I just want to give a shout out to Asa, first and foremost, because he's making big moves, which we discuss in the podcast. Just moved on down to Florida. By the time this episode's released, he is already down there. And I'm glad we got to do this episode and have the discussion that we did, because we hit on a lot of deep subjects. The last couple months I've really gotten to know him quite well and have developed a close friendship with Asa, and I, you know, wish him nothing but the best. And I know he's already living by the mentality of heart lead, brain follow, and just making big moves, and I'm proud of him. Send them a lot of love, and I hope you guys enjoy this conversation as much as I did. It's always so fun to be able to have these in-person podcast conversations and have conversations with people that you truly know and care about, and you get to collaborate and make something magical. And I really feel that's what this episode is. So if you're a fan of the show, be sure to subscribe whatever podcast platform you are on. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever that may be, definitely be sure to subscribe, 5-star review. It does help more people find the show. You can also head on over to my Substack, mcdermott.substack.com. There you'll be notified of all podcasts. If you're subscribed, all poetry, writing, whatever it may be, I'm going to be releasing some new information on optimization coaching and wellness coaching, and I now have tarot readings, again, open by donation. So if you're interested in working with me one-on-one, I've really been honing in lately on what are the keys to optimization. And I think optimization in itself is our source of meaning. I mean, my Substack page is called Deeper Meaning, and I believe the root of a lot of our issues in society and individually, people feel a lack of purpose, a lack of meaning. And what is meaning? It is an inner sense. It's part of our sensory perception. And your self-actualization, it's not meant to be a peak. It is meant to be the foundation for who you are. So if you're interested in that type of work, I'm really breaking down the keys to optimization in different points. So you can hop on a free call, chat about that, talk about what a long-term optimization journey would look like for you. Check out the link to my in the episode show notes if that's something that is of interest to you. We can book a time to chat. But without further ado, let's jump into the podcast with Asa Eldridge. I really hope you guys enjoy this one as much as I did, because there is so much gold, so much beauty inside of this episode. As always, I appreciate you guys for supporting the show, for being here. So let's hop on the journey. Let's jump into the podcast with Asa Eldridge. What is the truth in the stories we are told? We've been given a story of a world fueled by separation. We've become separate from one another, separate from the earth, ultimately separate from the true nature of ourselves. It's time we learn the truth. It's time you rewrite your story. It's time to realign with who it is that you really are. This is the fifth dimension.
You are infinite and eternal. We are infinite and eternal.
Our natural essence, we could say, is simply being.
We have this awakening coming together as a perfect storm.
We're ready for this. We have the capacity inside. We just got to find that.
Yeah, what's up? Everybody, welcome into the Fifth Dimension podcast.
Let's do it.
We got live in studio, Asa Eldridge.
How are we doing?
My dude, what's happening, brother? It's great to have you on the podcast in person. Dude, we've been talking about this.
The most amazing day. I cannot explain it, man. I cannot explain this feeling. I'm so excited.
I feel it.
I didn't feel like a little girl until about 2 seconds ago, but now I feel the butterflies. Yeah, no. Dude. As soon as we said we were gonna do this, I was like ecstatic to where I went home and like told everybody about it. I was like, guys, I'm gonna be on a podcast. I was so excited, and now I'm here, man, and it feels fun.
Hell yeah, man. No, well, it's funny. I think we first mentioned it like a month ago, dude, and it was a month or two ago, and you know, I guess good things take time. I'm glad we're finally doing it.
Oh, dude, it got curated. We put it in the right time, right situation.
Hell yeah.
We let it just manifest itself.
Exactly. Don't got to worry about it too much. But I'm excited for you, dude. You got big life shit going on. I mean, if you want to give, like, I guess, give a little intro of yourself somehow.
A little bit.
What's the story? Dude, here's a good first question for you. What's the story of Asa Eldridge?
Like, that's an amazing question, except I have the worst answer for you.
All right.
I was asking myself that because I was like, is there going to be a point in this like podcast where I'm going to have to bring up my story? And I'll be honest, I don't know it.
Dude, that's...
I don't know it very well. And like, I really tried to think about it, and I was like, I don't really know it yet. Like, I don't really know what my story is right now because I feel like I'm still... beating away at it. So we're gonna get there eventually, but right now, as far as I know, in what I feel like is Asa Eldridge, man, I feel like I'm a kid from a very small town that moved around a lot, so I have a lot of different experiences, but I'm very quiet in a way. But it's slowly starting to change, and I feel like I can be a little bit louder, you know?
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? I feel like
sure,
I can be... Yeah, I feel like I can go out more, and I can trust myself around people in, like, not being socially awkward way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, there's so much anxiety from being from a small town and just moving around a lot where you don't get to really know people very well.
Yeah.
But I've been very blessed to be put around people that were very special connections like yourself.
Hell yeah,
you know what
man.
I mean?
I
like
feel you.
I don't get a whole lot of connections, but when I do, it always feels like something that I'm going to remember when I move on to the next place and move on to the next place. And
yeah.
Now that's just kind of been like ingrained in me to like always be like moving now. Like now moving feels like the new normal, man. I've been doing it since I was so young. And so... I feel like I'm happy to be where I'm at now. And we're going to see where that goes. Right now it's going to Florida.
Dude, and I'm excited for
it's
you,
going
man.
To Florida, so I'm excited as hell for that.
Dude.
Well,
you know, I can almost tell in just the way you conduct yourself and how you show up for yourself and for others and do and live your life that you have consciously thought about. You know, the who am I? What is my story? What is it? You know, what is the path that you're actually kind of carving and creating? Because I think when most people haven't even thought of that. Like, who am I truly? What is it that I'm doing? What is it that I want to do? Where is it my heart is calling me towards? Right? Even moving. Huge step. Huge. Yeah. Like, that's a massive change.
Yeah.
Most people run away from changes, things like that. So it's like how you show up, you can tell... There's and this is something, you know, I see it like the moment I met you, I'm like, wow, this dude knows who he is, or at least he thinks about it. Maybe he doesn't know, but you can tell you're confident in that ability to craft the story. It's very very noticeable. So
I don't know. Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel that way. So I appreciate you saying that a lot because like. It definitely doesn't feel that way. And recently I actually had some support from a close friend of mine, a bit older gentleman, and he always gives me like the best conversation whenever I see him at work.
Yeah.
And it's always like a 15-minute conversation that I always want to like write down in a journal. It's like one of those. It's like the whiskey wisdom where he gives you some wisdom and you're just like,
damn,
I'm going to have to remember that. You know what I mean? And there was this one where he said, I'm very proud of my son because I taught him something and he ran with it, and it was that it's better to have self-worth than self-confidence. Self-confidence will come and go, but your self-worth will always be there for you.
Damn.
And like to know your own like self-worth is very important, and so I've been trying to kind of figure that out, and so I'm definitely, it doesn't feel like I'm there yet. Doesn't feel like I've figured it out, but it's definitely a journey of mine.
Damn.
Sure.
Dude, that's deep. This guy goes to the ridge?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I want to talk. I need to hook you guys up. Yeah, send him my way. Now that you're going to be going away. But how are you feeling about the change, about going to Florida? Like, what's lingering for that for you? Like, what's...
For some reason, this phrase keeps popping in my head. Give me wings and just let me fly down there. Like, get me down there. Let's go. Let's fly south.
Let's go.
Let's do it, man. If we're going to do it, let's do it. I just want to... Yeah, that transition part... They always say it's like about the journey, not the destination, everything.
Yeah.
Hell, right now. I'm excited to get there, man. And yeah. I'm excited to get things rolling. I think a lot of that is fear, and I want to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
A lot of that is like the fun fear, though. You know, like it gives me anxiety, but something that gives me like butterflies anxiety and not like a mental exhaustion anxiety.
Yeah, for sure. At this point, it's probably feeling real, so there's the excitement,
dude.
There's no escaping.
There's nothing realer than I don't know, for me it's my first apartment with a significant other, and so that's going to be an interesting experience in itself. But it's cross country in a place that I've never really been to. I've actually never been to this place in my life, and I've never really been in that kind of environment except for maybe once or twice. So it's going to be a completely different experience. Man. Completely different experience. And I'm so excited for it, because it's like, here I got challenged with basically my first time being on my own, but family was always like an arm's reach away. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And I had family all around me here, and I got a great place to work at, and I was able to like move up. But it was a fucking challenge to get there.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, man. And I tell you what, like, I probably spent more days with like -5 in my bank account than I have with positive in my bank account.
I feel you.
And recently I've been blessed with changes in that situation, and now this feels like the new challenge. You know what I mean? This is the new setting, this is the new firsts, and working through it. And so just keep striving, keep climbing.
Hell yeah, man.
So that's, I think that's where the excitement comes from, because I know that this is the next challenge, but we get through it. You know what I mean?
Like, for sure,
we persevere, we find a way, it'll all be good.
Absolutely, man. It's your endurance of any of life, in a sense, right? That's and that's, it's interesting, because I've been thinking a lot about, just in terms of physical training, right?
Right.
For context, everybody listening, we both work in a gym. We're both like,
sorry.
We're in the physical like space every day, but I've been thinking about like what is my strengths, like in fitness, for example. But then I realized, and my answer was actually endurance more than anything. Just, you know, I'll go up to the heavy bag and I'll hit a 30-minute round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll just go. Yeah. And I'm tired, but there's that idea. The gas tank is never truly empty.
Empty, yeah.
There's always a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So I adapt that, but I realize that's like life, too. That's my, what is my strength in life? It's endurance.
Yeah,
man. It's the fact that there is those challenging moments. You know, I've learned more from rock bottom scenarios than peak experiences, or just
as much.
So it's like they're necessary, but that is what makes the whole entirety of the journey. It makes the destination,
right?
When it's arriving, it makes it that much sweeter.
I think for some people it's hard to realize that the learning isn't actually happening when you're at the bottom. Like you learn at the top because you're able to look back at where you were and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you get to assess it, but you're not like, you're going through the experience then, you know what I mean? So it's like, yes, you do all the learning when you're at the bottom, at rock bottom and everything, right? But you don't realize it until you get to the, you know, that end destination that you feel like is that next security where you can look back on where you weren't doing as well. You know what I mean? And then you can be like, ah, that's because I was this way and this person reacted like that and I handled it, you know, maybe poorly. And then you can be like, okay, well, this is like why it was poorly, because I didn't have confidence and this, you know, led into that.
Yeah.
And so, so yeah, like it's important to realize that, like, if you are at the bottom right now, like, or you feel like you're at whatever your bottom is and everything, you're not going to learn it yet. Just keep pushing forward. Stop trying to assess, because it's just going to make you feel negative about the situation.
Yeah.
And negativity doesn't help you. So just keep pushing forward. And then once you get to a place where you feel like you can look back and feel like you can assess maybe was going on, or maybe was like the cause and your situation, then you can learn. Like, that's right. When the learning happens, everything. But right now, like, just go through.
Sometimes you just have to put your head down. Fuck, and endure, yeah, it, and not fuck, overthink, yeah, it, because the second you start overanalyzing and overthinking,
yeah,
you kind of almost trap yourself.
No, keep the body in motion.
Yeah.
Keep everything else in motion, because once that mind comes to a halt and everything in a bad situation, it's hard to keep your mind away from bad thoughts. And so,
for sure,
I think that's just like a big seated, like, reason for a lot of people's like anxiety and depressions right, yeah, now. It's just like whatever you're doing, like, whether you're like working on a book or like working on a lumberyard or whatever it might be and everything, and you feel like you're just going through this really like hard spot.
Yeah.
Hey man, just keep grinding away. Keep
trust in the
payoff. Keep in motion and keep on trusting in like that path that we talked about,
yeah,
and everything. And it feels like the endurance is really just letting everything play out.
And trusting that it will
fate.
Play
That's
out.
That's the fucking word I was
Fate.
Fucking fate, man.
Dude,
yeah,
fate.
Looking for, waiting for, like, waiting for fate, but keeping your body active and in motion.
Mm-hmm. And I think the in motion part is interesting. Because I was just talking with, I don't remember who I was talking about this with. It might have been you, somebody. I don't know. No, it was my tattoo artist.
Okay. Yeah.
Shout out to Ricky. But we were talking about just the idea of going through challenge, and we were talking about having faith and trust. And so there's a level of faith and trust you need to have while in these rock bottom places, while, yeah, going through pain, while going through hardship. And like, you have to have a sense of hope and believe in, well, things are going to get better. Because if you don't believe in that, you're going to stop. Like, you're not going to continue. You're not going to push forward. So you need to have a deeper belief and faith in that coming to fruition, but the faith itself is not enough.
Yeah, right.
The faith has to be backed by action, and it has to be backed by, and the action itself is driven by that, it's going to get better, so let me continue, right? There has to be the let me continue. If it's going to get better, but then you put your head down and you shield, yeah, you know, and you shield away,
yeah,
it's not going to get better, because it's almost as if you're meant to experience that hardship.
No, yeah, you have to.
You're almost destined for it, and it's that.
And the longer that you don't, the longer you'll be down there.
Yeah.
Just going through that same thing over and over and over again, man. Whether it be anything in life that's hard for you and everything, I think you just have to learn how to endure, like we said, and, yeah, build that endurance, and let fate play its hand, man.
For sure, for
because,
sure.
Man, those uncontrollables, they'll come and get you. We talked about
all
it earlier.
All the time, man. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's funny, because I think we're both at a point where we can see, and we've had a conversation about this before, and like, for the example of like physical health and wellness,
yeah,
right, and how we eat and how we go to, you know, we take those micro doses of adversity in the gym, right? We choose to like push ourselves because we enjoy that. Like, that's who we are. It's who we want to be.
Yeah.
Right. So we recognize when there might be self-sabotage possible, but what leads to that? And it's like, yeah, we make the choice to not, to set ourselves up the best we can on our own.
And I think we've both felt the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, we've both felt the absolute opposite of that feeling, and so it's not enjoying the feeling of going through the pain or going, yeah, through, you know, that hard workout, whatever it is,
yeah,
we enjoy the benefits that we get out of that, because we know the benefits feel so much better than when we were doing the,
yeah,
opposite.
Exactly.
So when we were, you know, not putting ourselves through these challenges in life and not like submerging ourselves into the forge and things of that nature, so like, if you're not doing that, then you're probably not going to reap like good rewards. And I know that from experience of just like when I would always, whether it was sleeping in or I would lie or when I would not come through on a appointment or something like that.
Yeah.
I would always know that feeling and how bad that felt. And then when I did show up, and then when I did have an honest conversation with somebody, mm-hmm. or, you know, when I did go do my workout and I pushed myself to where I didn't have that 5% left when I walked out, yeah. you know what I mean? When I did do that, that feeling felt so much better. And I was like, oh shit, here we go. All right. Yeah. I love this. I'm in love with it now.
Dude, you know what I mean? Absolutely. And the it's like you're, the way you're showing up, it's like an expression of who you are in the yeah. fullest sense. And because when you choose to, I don't know, maybe lie, or you not even lie, maybe you choose to simply avoid a hard truth, let's yeah. say with somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe it's, you can justify it in your mind because, well, I'm not lying. Well, I can, it'll avoid, you know, or this conversation can wait. Whatever justification we make in the mind,
man,
there's still a deeper underlying feeling that we can't even always rationalize, and maybe it's perpetuated in like a shame or a I know I can do better. I yeah. know that I can express the full truth to a deeper level. Oh, and that eats away at you,
like, dude. I don't think you know, and I know for a fact because we haven't talked about that before.
Yeah.
But a big part of my life is based around that in and of itself, of just like, I am drawn back to this one thing, one of my favorite people, Joey Diaz, to like watch. And honestly, his motivation,
yeah,
that's my motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
And so in one of them, and I think probably more than one of them, he says, you know, get out all the people and everything. Like, if you need to make a list, you know, write them a letter, whatever it might be, tell them that you're sorry for whatever it might be and everything, so you can move past it. Like, whatever your past is and everything. Basically, the moral of the story was that no matter what your past was and everything, you can't do anything about it. All you can do is apologize for it and hope the best for whatever the reaction might be. But you can't control that. That's one of those uncontrollables. And I think that's one of my biggest fears is like, those uncontrollables of the reaction of when I do apologize to the people that I am sorry for. And that's something that I'm working through right now. And I have been working through and has been a big part of my life, because I think one thing about me is I fucked up a lot when I was younger, which made me right now, like, people tell me that I'm a nice guy right now and everything. And people will, say things similar to what you say and everything. And it doesn't, it's only because I did all the stupid shit and all the bad shit when I was younger, and I was such the opposite.
Yeah.
And now it feels like I've been able to learn from it, yes, and everything, but also a part of that process is the going back, and I have to apologize to these people and deal with the uncontrollables.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hard thing for me, I think, right now.
Dude.
Like writing those letters and sending them home to people that I may have fucked over and things like that. Just working through that has been insane. And so I feel like, dealing, like, that's one of those uncontrollables that I feel like is a big fear for me.
Dude, I feel you. Did you write those letters and you sent them out?
So I did a couple. Yeah. I haven't done them all. I'll be honest. I have not. Like,
well, dude, I haven't done any. I've thought about that before. And that's,
oh my God. Like,
and that's a practice where I think I would, you know, it's like, wow. That, so I look at, even writing one. Like, holy shit. That's powerful.
I don't know. It didn't feel powerful, man. I felt like shit writing it. I felt like shit with everything, but it's like you had to deal with the uncontrollables, no matter what the reaction was. And honestly, the reaction was much better than I could have ever asked for and everything. And everything that you think in your head, you know, you always, whenever you go into a situation like that, you always kind of think of the outcome, what the outcome might be and everything. And for me, I think I'm the best guesser.
Hell yeah.
Because apparently, I was very off, and I'm very grateful for that. And that person, I hope the best for them now.
Yeah.
And going forward, and a lot of people, but I still need to work through that list, and I think that's like I think that's gonna be a life goal for me.
Dude, holy smokes, 100%, man. I'm proud of you. That's good stuff, dude.
Hard thing,
honestly, because that's, I could sit here and I could probably name, dude, a ton of off the dome, like,
oh,
of just people who deserved better, from than what I was, you know, doing at the time.
Yeah.
And I look back at, like, even the idea, I've thought, for me, this journey of, like, self-forgiveness has had, it's been the first, it's been a major theme. And not in the sense where it's like, you know, there's people who, you could always say there's people who have done far worse than you. Like, there, I think that's a lot of how a lot of people justify the, a lot, you know, things like this, right, where it may feel on the grand scale where you fuck somebody over. Maybe right, on the grand societal scale, it's not a huge deal.
Right.
Right. But internally, it still eats away at you. And you do have to almost feel it to heal it. Right. That's something I live by. That's, and I've tried to adapt. You yeah, really got to feel it. So it's not going to go away. So you do have to tackle it head on. But even forgiveness, dude, it's the uncontrollable is with the other person, right? Right. But you, in a way, are you doing it for them? Yes. You do hope that they are, you hope that they're going to accept it, and it would be beautiful if they did. But all in this, just as much as it's for them, it's still for you too. It's for ourselves.
Well, that's the whole start. Like, where, yeah, what made you want to apologize to these people? Because you were looking to help yourself, right?
Redemption.
Right? You wanted to feel better about yourself. You wanted to move past those things. It was originally for you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then you could think of, okay, what's the best thing I can do for myself and my own mental health right now? God, I just, what's something that eats away at me? What's like one of my biggest stresses that kind of like would keep me up at night? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it comes to others.
Yeah.
And being kind to others, and you want to be able to provide that kindness back to the people that you may have, I don't know, just done wrong in some
capacity,
you know what I mean, done wrong by. So it's just, it's hard because some of it is learning, like we talked about.
It is.
So it's like, damn,
well, it's like, was that experience necessary? What did and you know, you have to almost think of it too in a grand sense, like that happening was the best thing that could have happened to either of us.
Yeah.
You know, for the reason that it did.
Well, I will say people would definitely not be calling me nice if I didn't learn from it.
Yeah.
And everything. And the only way that I learned from it was being surrounded by people better than me.
Yeah.
Always. Always, always, always. And I can always try to, like, use my ego to twist it some other way. But if I'm being honest with myself, it's always going to be because I surrounded myself with people who were always so much better than I was. And I was just kind of tried to bring myself to their standard.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think it's important when you, if you ever do that, because other people work in much different ways and everything, and everybody works in a different way. So if you do go down that path, I will say, do not compare yourself.
Yeah.
Just compose yourself.
Compose. You feel me? Absolutely.
Compose yourself in the way that you feel like is still you and everything. Don't compare yourself to those people.
Right. Well, dude, and I like to think about in the sense of where, you know, if somebody, let's say, fucked me over.
Right.
Sure, it's happened.
Right.
How would I want how would I want them to feel about themselves for it? You know, let's say I can move on. I'm at the point where I understand everybody has their own BS. You know, I understand things happen. I don't need to, I'm not sitting here worrying about what somebody did to me 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, I'm not at that point anymore, which is, and it's taken healing, certainly.
It's crazy.
But, so, you almost have to adapt the mindset when you're looking for self-forgiveness. Well, shit, I would want them to forgive themselves if they fucked me over. Why do I not want me to forgive myself? Right? And it's like, you have to adopt the idea, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah, bro.
I didn't know what I was doing. And I think we respond and or react in the way that we know how. Like the best way that we know how. It's as simple as that. Right? Yeah. Maybe it's not always correct.
That. Yeah.
But it was the best way I knew how. Maybe I just didn't know what I was doing. And now I can reflect and learn. You know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is, and I think this word has been like absolutely bastardized, but ignorance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the nicest sense possible.
Yeah.
Ignorance. Like a child, he doesn't like throw an apple because he wants to be a little shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He doesn't fucking know.
Yeah. No. I mean, you can still call him a little shit. He might be a little shit, but he don't know it. That's all right.
He doesn't know.
Don't hold it against him.
So, yeah, no. And so, like, we all go through our ignorance, and ignorance is bliss sometimes, and
sometimes it's a paradise, and sometimes it is hell.
Sometimes it's pitiful.
It is pitiful. Paradise or pitiful? That's a good. Thank you, sir. That's good.
Hey, did you ever? Sorry, and it's not because that's out. All right, I'll be honest. I've been thinking about this since before the podcast started. I just knew I wanted to ask him on air.
Hell yeah!
Did you ever have wheelies?
Do I have what?
Wheelies, like
Wheelies?
Yeah, like the little shoe wheelie things. Did you ever have those?
No, dude, but I was always mad jealous of the kids who did.
I was, and then I eventually became one of those kids.
Yeah.
I went too hard in the fucking paint, man. I had those things everywhere I went, and we had this house in North Carolina, these big windy hills, and they were the most beautiful like hills to walk on because they were just lined with trees. And my dumbass was out there in wheelies, and we're on a family walk, and we're coming down this one hill. I'm like, fuck it, man. I'm just going to wheelie down the hill. So I went down, but it's like, it's a driveway, so it's not like paved nicely.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. All of a sudden, I'm coming up. I start getting the speed wobbles, and I see a, it's like a grate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everything. And so it's got rocks all around it, and one of my shoes hits a rock. I stomp and I launch myself over that fucking thing, man. And I got scars across my knees and my elbow to this day. Oh,
damn,
man,
dude.
I got myself fucking
good. So was that the last time you ever rode a wheelie?
Yeah.
You're done with them after that.
Yeah. I think there's a fear with wheelies now where I saw this box underneath your bed that looked like a wheelies box. I'm not saying it's a keyboard box, but reminded me of my like...
Fear
is it was like one of those memories unlocked.
Yeah.
When I saw that box, I was like, is that a wheelie? Oh my God. No.
Dude, well, fear is meant to be conquered, my friend.
I know, and I've been begging for a pair every Christmas since.
Dude. Yeah. All right. I think
But every now and again, I do ask. I'll like see a kid wearing them, and I'm just like, dude, I got to get myself some fucking wheelies. I got to.
Honestly? Dude, go for it. Make that your first Florida purchase. A thing of fucking wheelies. Start wheeling around. Dude, I want to get a thing of wheelies. I've never had any.
I think I'm going to get a Therapool. Or sorry, not Therapool. A cold plunge pool.
Cold plunge.
Yeah, a cold plunge pool. Mm. I'm going to get one of them, like, just little singles. And apparently they get, like, the blown up kind.
So, yeah.
And we've got a little balcony type thing. So I think stick it out there. Maybe just pour it off the edge. Hopefully the person underneath doesn't bother.
Do you do that cold plunge often still? You've been doing it?
Not as good as I should. I've tried it every now and again this summer. It's just been raging really bad in all the rivers. And so when I go to the ponds and everything, it's okay. Yeah. But I just don't like getting... I don't know. I guess I'm a bitch. I just don't like getting undressed around other people in that sense of just like...
going.
It feels weird when there's like little kids. I don't know. Ever since turning 21, it just feels weird in front of like little kids. I'm just going to go get undressed at a pond.
Yeah, just go swimming in the...
And, like, I just got swim trunks on. I guess I could just wear clothes and just figure it out and don't be such a fucking idiot.
Nah, dude, I feel you. Well, and honestly, I would like to do more cold plunges myself, but I've been... I mean, this is... I'm learning. Maybe this is just Montana and I get to suck it up. Dude, it's raining every day. It's been cold.
It's cold as
shit. Like, when it's...
Our cold plunges are serious, dog.
Dude, I'm saying, like, life is a cold plunge up here. You know what
dude,
I mean?
I remember this time last year... Maybe it was a little bit later. I'm terrible at times, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Same. And
it's an illusion anyway.
Yeah, fuck them. Sometime last summer, my grandparents were up here at a campground, and the river was like, I mean, blue, brother.
Yeah.
Crystal blue to where, like, I was like, man, I do have goggles in the car. I might go, like, try to look through it. It was so crystal blue. And, so I stripped down to my skivvies and I put on my goggles and decided to start going diving down in the water. And I tell you what, it was cold to where, like, you got to get yourself ready to jump in and you better get ready to, like, get in and get out.
Yeah.
Like, you get in, you go look around, blah, 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 and then you get downstream far enough and you got to get the fuck out because it's too cold.
Yeah.
You don't stand in it. You go right off the bank. And so I got all my siblings, like, they were all there swimming too, and I was like, man, we got to get some more goggles. You guys got to see this fish. And they're like, the fish? You're fucking kidding me. There's no fish down there. I was like, I'm telling you right now, I'm within arm's reach of fish. And so I think we ended up finding some goggles in my sister's van or something like that. Put them, gave them to the kids and my siblings, and we were jumping down there. Sure enough, when that current would push you hard enough, that fish was right there, man, every single time. But they're so much faster than my dumbass is.
Yeah.
I'm like a rock. You know what I mean? Yeah, floating through there. So I reach out and they swim away. But every single time, you swear you could just get them. But yeah, they know you're coming.
Yeah.
It's no joke.
Dude, that's sweet. Dude, that's a cold plunge in itself. But it goes to show you, once you're like, once you immerse yourself into like the water, for example, when you become the water, you know, you want to see the fucking fish. Well, you're gonna deal with the cold plunge. You're not even gonna think about the cold. You're gonna be with the fish, and you're gonna see the beauty of the fish.
Yeah. You
know, otherwise, you're gonna psych yourself out. You're not gonna enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know. These kids out here are strong, man. Because we were talking about it. Winters out here are different.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
this winter. Winter toughened me up.
That's what I'm saying. These kids are a little bit like psychos, to where they can just like hop in that water and think like, okay, this isn't the coldest ever. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Because like, we've gone through these winters that are just so cold, man. So we'll bargain.
Hell yeah.
If we can stand it for at least 30 seconds, we'll probably get in. But they were just psychos, because if you asked anybody, I bet, in the South to come up and hop in it,
no chance.
There's zero chance. My own girlfriend, there's no shot. She goes, I'll play in the water when we move down to the South, but not up here.
Not up here. It's too cold. Not up here. Dude, that's fair. Well, you know what's interesting is I think maybe when I first got to, let's say, South Dakota, maybe I was like that, you know, and I'd spent time living in California. I grew up on the East Coast. So, I mean, and we had the ocean on the East Coast, which is fucking cold. Like the Atlantic Ocean, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. Up by New Hampshire, it might get kind of warm in like August, by the end of summer. But dude, you want to go to the beach in June, you're swimming in cold water. Like, it's fucking cold.
Chill.
So coming out here, I think there was a level of hesitation. Like, I'm probably not gonna swim in April or May.
Right.
But I don't know. It seems like part of my own path and journey has been the building of endurance. And it's like, I'm almost willing to just be like, fuck it, why not? Am I gonna die if I go in?
No.
I remember we were out in a highlight, like a barbecuing about a month ago. Dude, I was out there in a fucking tank top the whole time, and it was hailing, it was cold, it was
weather
like
the storm.
50, 40, like probably a little less than 50 at that point by the end of it. And in my head, I even had the thought in my head, I was like, damn, everybody else has a coat. I'm fucking freezing. I could sit here and bitch about it, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to let it
fucking storm.
I'm not going to let it bother me. And it was, like, I'll just endure. It's fine. And after that, I didn't think about it for another 2 hours until we left. And then when I got in the truck, I'm like, all right, I need a fucking sweatshirt. Yeah.
But I realize when you can flip that switch when it comes to like tolerance for pain and discomfort.
Yeah.
It's, it gets fun over there, man. It gets fun. Like, where you're able to just
the pain turns to pleasure.
Yeah, man. Every now and again, you're just like, I'm going to sit in here for a little while. Endure this shit. Because that's where all that beauty is, man. That's where that... I mean, the harshest winters out here, but I've never seen Montana look so beautiful.
Yeah.
In my entire life. Like, it is so green. Rolling hills. I feel like I'm living in a goddamn Teletubbies land. Like, it's nuts. This place is gorgeous.
It is. It's magical.
And so... And even going home to Wyoming, and it being green still, dude, that's rare. So, and not having it be complete like smoke, like we've had our smokes and everything, and it was pretty bad, but I mean, it is just like, I mean, you gotta have that balance, like we always talk about, man,
for sure.
So if you want to have that balance, you gotta weather that storm, buddy.
Oh, for sure. Well, and it's interesting because the days that it are nice, like yesterday for example, when it was 70 and beautiful, right, you notice how luscious everything is and how much life there is because of, let's say, all the rain. Right, dude, we've been getting rain like crazy. It rains almost every day.
Just like us later today. We're going to go find some mushrooms.
Yeah.
You know where they live?
In the damp
deep, dark places, yeah, buddy.
That's
deep,
where they grow.
Places. Dude. Us too.
Yeah.
You gotta exactly. reach down to deep, dark places, man. I say that all the time, and people probably fucking hate it. But I always say, like, when as soon as I feel like they're starting to feel that discomfort and that pain, just a little bit, not pain, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of sitting in that zone where everything's kind of firing and burning. Even in your workouts or just like right now moving to Florida, that little mm-hmm. zone where that excitement is just like almost too much to bear, where you almost want to run away.
Yeah, for sure.
And like when you get in that way with the weights and you just want to drop the weights, but because it's starting to hurt and you're like, fuck the ow.
Yeah.
But if you just sit in there just for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
If you just endure that just for a little bit longer, the beauty in there.
Dude, exactly. Oh my God,
the outcome is amazing. And so, yeah, that's how I feel about the winters here. And that's how, like, I feel about balance and all that good shit. So,
damn, dude. I was going to say, that's the yin and yang. And I think pleasure and pain is a perfect, in the endurance, the building of endurance is a perfect way to, it's almost like encapsulate meaning in life. Yeah. You know, and how you show up in life, and like, what is the purpose itself? Did he gnash on my floor? I don't care.
So, I'm genuinely sorry,
bro. I even looked
around and I was like, you know, I didn't think about an ashtray either. So, fuck.
I do not care. We're here now. We're here now. We're in the present moment. But
by the way, thank you for letting me be here, bro. I really do appreciate it,
dude.
Like man. More than anything, I definitely am proud to be your friend.
Yeah.
Like, thanks. Whenever people, like, talk about you, I'm just like, I burst with excitement, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate that shit.
But, like, no, seriously, I really do, like, appreciate your friendship, bro, because I didn't have a whole lot here in Bozeman. And so, like, when you showed up, it was just, like, this odd thing where I thought I was, like, going to leave with maybe not, like, but maybe one or two friends and everything. And I ended up making, like, a really good friend and, like, a really good person. And so I appreciate you having me on here, man.
Dude, I appreciate that. And it's interesting because I feel like we were both at the Ridge for a little while and I didn't know you that well. And but like the last, like, I don't know, 2 months, I'd say, 2 to 3 months, gotten to know you a lot better, having deeper conversations, just like, you know, we're just exploring shit. We can recognize we're on a similar path, I think, in a sense.
It's been good.
And I have a similar philosophy. So it's – and I'm excited, man. I see, like – I mean, you're a little younger than me. I'm 27. Are you 22,
23? 21.
Dude. Just turned 21. So
yeah, bro.
In ways, I'm like, damn. Like, I look back, like, if I was 21 and thinking the way you're thinking now, my life would have had so much less, like, self-destruction. Like, you know what I mean, dude?
Yeah.
Like, there would have been the path itself. Like, I'm in a good place personally, and I found such a fulfilling, like, space, and I know that I'm building towards something great with, like, in life.
Yeah, man.
Even if it's just a feeling within myself and how I show up, I know I'm building towards that now.
Fuck
the fact is that you've already kind of found that, like, in a way where I maybe you don't consciously know you found it.
Yeah, man.
But
you saying that is like, because I don't look at it that way.
But that's what I see, and I'm like, damn, like he gets it. That's what I see. So I'm like, all right,
oh man,
you get it. You're on the, you, and so.
And if anybody does watch this, I don't know if this will ever actually reach people.
But it'll reach
those movements is just because I've heard people. So people have told me similar things like that.
Yeah.
And man, every single time I get uncomfy because I just don't view myself that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a lot of like other thoughts and opinions on myself than that.
Well, so do I about myself.
And so it's just like, man, that is just, it's hard to like hear out loud because I do feel like I try to hold myself to that standard so that people acknowledge that and everything.
Yeah.
It's just such a amazing feeling, man. And it, it's very rare, but it's just so good. It's so good, and I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Dude, of course. Well, and it's interesting because I think it's – we don't all really express that to people very much in general. But, like, we know on a deeper level. You know what I mean? When you meet another person who's in a very – who's on a similar path, who you know, filled the descriptor for everything. I just – you know, the last thing I said, right? It's like you get it. But here we are. We don't need to, like, express that. There's just deeper knowing. And it's, like, a reminder to come back to ourselves, and when we find those meaningful connections, like that, dude, that's what life is about. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the beauty of life. And I've been in the similar boat where I've lived in a lot of different places, and I have a lot of different, like, I have close friends in a lot of places that it's, you know, for example, I was always a grandma's boy growing up, right? And my grandma lives out on.
Bro, me too.
I was a grandma's boy, dude. And so my grandma lives out in Boston, Massachusetts. I talk to her once every, not often enough. The last time I talked to her was her birthday, which was May. So it's like now having that separation where there's thousands of miles, where you have somebody who's like, who, when you're present with them, that person is like your whole world.
Yeah.
And you can forge deep connections with people.
Absolutely.
When you have that all over the place, you start to recognize how valuable you are as a person too. And like a reminder, like, wow, there's people who see me for me here, 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 everywhere right. I fucking go. And like, and you can have an assurance of like, it's sad to like have, you know, there's this, the feeling of, damn, this person's so far away, this person's so far away. And you have to almost accept that person is not, they may not be, I don't want to say not an active part of your life, but in a way, not an active, they're not there every day. They're not in, they're like, right. They're not experiencing all the change with you in the way that they had in the past. Like, absolutely. And so things change and relationships change, but it's good to be like, you're, and I think you've lived in a few different places already, but you know, going, especially at the age you're at now, by going down to Florida, you're going to discover like, damn, there's beauty, there's meaning, all that shit, wherever I go. There's people who care wherever I go.
Oh yeah.
And I can always come back to Montana. Or for me, I can always go back to Massachusetts. My grandma will always, well, she's not, she won't always be there, but you know, she's there for me at least right now. And maybe I might only.
I don't know, that hometown feeling will always be there.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean? Like, grandma.
And even, even if she's
always
going to
be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And even when she passes eventually, you know, there'll, that feeling will still be there. The feeling of home, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much to that. Damn. I go on and on about that, man. But it's, I think you're going to really experience a deeper level of just freedom to be yourself going to a new place. But also, it's nice that you're leaving.
It's a little wild.
No.
I've done it once before.
Yeah.
And so that was, it's just a little wild, man. It's a little wild. And I had fun. I had a great time. But it's just a different, it's different when you have people that you know you can rely on.
Yeah.
Like close by and interactive in your life, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And when you get, like you were talking about, it gets different when you're around those people.
Yeah.
Where your focus almost shifts to them and everything, because you're so used to like having them almost be dependent on your life,
mm-hmm.
and your life dependent on theirs.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit. And so I think that shift is just, it's a different feeling when you decide that group has to change,
mm-hmm.
and the voices start to shift, and which ones are you going to listen to and everything.
Yeah.
You're
totally going out on your own in a sense. And like the, you know, there's so much to that, because
like it's all with who you surround yourself with and all those connections and everything. And so you know good people, like your grandma, when you go to Boston and everything. And you know good people out here when you come out to Montana.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so those are the people that you ground yourself with. So, like, if you were here in Montana, like, you wouldn't know anything else but to, like, focus yourself around these people.
Yeah.
And so, like, that shift and everything is just, like, it's different experiences. It, like, feels wild to, like, have thought about like what you're talking about, but for me it's like my friendships.
Yeah.
Like my friendships, I have friendships from when I was in North Carolina where I wish I could talk to him more and actually know him more, but I don't even really know him or her that well.
Yeah.
Because they're not in my day-to-day life. And so
right.
we just fall out of connection and everything. But it makes those relationships rich, because when you go and see those people and everything, it makes those experiences so much more of like a memory, because you only get so few of those these days, and you learn that so quickly when you go like out on your own and everything. And so yeah, it's been amazing to kind of have experienced that at a younger age and everything, but it's hard. It's a hard thing to handle when you're, you know, in high school and everything, and you fall out of touch with all those people, and then you fall out of touch with more people, and those connections change. But every single time you see them, it's just electric again. And it's just like you just saw them and everything.
Exactly.
It's like, as soon as I go to Florida, I know as soon as I come back to come visit and everything, and I see you guys, we're going cold plunging. We're going to go hit a lift. We're going to go hit a podcast. We're going to go for a walk. Like, we're going to go do those silly shit. We're going to go do some skit shit, man.
Yeah.
So, take care of business. And so, I love that. And I love that we've been able to have that connection out here, and you have those connections like all across the country.
Yeah, man.
And we've been very blessed with that. And I think it's fun to cherish those things, and like, you cherish your grandma when you go there. That's why your focus point is there and everything. And
exactly,
you
want to
cherish these people and these moments and these memories and everything and these people that you care about. So it's been,
and it lets you be more present in them, dude. Like, and it's
exactly.
And honestly, the more places you explore, the further you go, you know, you just start to realize that how infinite that can be, you know, and how. But in the same sense, like, there is a limit, I guess, to the amount of connections you can have, obviously, but. When you do almost have to establish, like, you couldn't just go down to Florida for a week and create.
Nobody
the same
told Elvis that.
Yeah.
Dude, that motherfucker went off the chain.
Right.
Well, like, you want to talk about connections and people that I know? What's up?
But then you could ask the same question. If you have a million connections, how deep can they all truly be?
Honestly.
You know? And it's like, is it more. And something I've always been kind of the nomadic spirit in a sense, where I'll go somewhere for a few months, boom, there, travel around. And I think there's a lot to that in the sense where, you know, it's great. I love to explore. I want to, I think that's like I think the pioneering spirit is still deeply alive within.
Yeah, you little gypsy. You know.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I'm running fucking gypsy, exactly. But in that same sense, I had to recognize when at what point am I doing that? And repeat just doing that to avoid grounding into a spot and settling into a spot and allowing deeper shit to establish, right?
Right.
So you almost have to recognize if you might, like, when am, if I'm doing that. And I think there was a time when I was doing that, and I found home in Montana for me. And I'm in the sense where, you know, am I going to be here forever? Shit, I don't know where I'll be in a year, right? Not in the sense, I'll probably be in Montana. I love it here.
Right.
It's beautiful. But like, I also recognize sometimes life has such unpredictable callings that you can't hold on to things, whether it's an idea or a location or whatever it is, right? Even a connection. Maybe it falls out and you need to let it go. So I recognize that I'm not going to try and say I'm gonna be in one spot for the rest of my life, but I recognize the beauty too, and like, I'm called to establish that, the deeper connections. And I think down in Florida you'll get there and it'll feel like home, and you can start to establish that, and maybe one day you might get called again to go somewhere else, right?
Yeah,
but and you'll it just comes and goes, right? The beauty of just finding that balance.
Yeah, I got that self-check recently and I was like, I like that actually. Because I told a close friend of mine, and I was like, yeah, it's really just like a 12-month excursion right now. And they were like, well, you never know. It could be a career. You never know. And I was like, yeah, I guess I always thought like maybe it would be shorter.
Yeah.
But I never thought of like maybe I'd actually stay there longer.
Yeah, dude. That's how I thought about Montana.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going to happen when I got out here.
Yes. Yeah, and I had never really thought of it. I was like, yeah, I kind of figured I would just stay there for 12 months and then just kind of go to the next place. And that's what it feels like I want right now. But
yeah,
shit, that's right now. You know what I mean? I still got another 12 months and then
figure it out. Dude, well, you know what's funny is, have I told you how I ended up in Montana?
No.
So it's interesting because I originally had taken a job down in Texas to lead outdoor education programs and shit. And I was in South Dakota. And I had just helped my mom move into a new apartment. Hi, mom. She's probably listening.
Hi, mom.
Yeah. I just helped her move into a new apartment. And on the day that I was leaving there, I was like, all right, the apartment I was going to get had fallen through in South Dakota. I was like, all right, I'm going to go look at other opportunities. Got that Texas job. for some reason, the day I was going to leave, I had this like internal debate. I got 2 weeks. Do I go to Montana first just to check it out? I want to explore it. I want to go to Glacier National Park. Let me go to there.
Yeah.
And then I'll go down to Texas. And the day I was going to leave, I didn't know if I was going to drive south or I was going to drive west. And so I was like, you know what? I'll regret not going to Montana. I'll regret having not gone seeing Glacier. Oh, so my God. I drove out to Glacier.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a magical experience in Glacier. It was beautiful. I was up there for probably about a week. It was just exploring around, bumming it, you know? It was dope, dude.
Rock on, dog.
But and before I had gotten the Texas job fully, I had been like applying to seasonal work all over the country. Like Montana, I think Wyoming, a couple of them, Arizona, and I ended up doing the one down in Texas. So, and then I was driving south to go down to Texas. I was going to make one more stop in Taos, New Mexico. I don't know why, just to check it out.
Yeah.
Why I had planned on that. So I had actually had Taos, New Mexico in my GPS, and I was just driving. And I stopped in Bozeman. I slept in a Walmart parking lot in my car, dude, in Bozeman. And this is great. I was swiping on Tinder. I had just redownloaded it and I didn't know why, because I don't have it now. It's one of those apps where it's like I'll delete, I'm done with it, right? And I had made that decision, but I went back onto it and I matched with somebody who wanted to go. We just started talking. She's like, let's go to a show in Big Sky tomorrow. And I'm like, all right, that's on my way, bet. Like, just it was free. It was music festival, and I'm like, that's gonna be dope. I can go, you know, there's So I went down to it, ended up vibing with this chick. We were seeing each other for a little bit. And while I was delaying going down to Texas, I had been, you know, hanging out probably 4 or 5 days in Bozeman. I was like, I need to leave. I got a call from West Yellowstone in a hotel that needed seasonal work. So I'm in fucking Bozeman. I drove down the 90 miles. I talked to the dude. I had a job in West Yellowstone the next day, and I had been vibing with Montana. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to just stay. I love it. This is fun.
Fuck yeah! You
and so here I am,
gypsy bastard.
Here I am. That's
so sick.
Here I am.
That's tight.
And that's the one. It's interesting how I could have, when I went to my, there was no that I didn't anticipate living there at all.
Right.
Like, by that time, I'm like, I'm going down to Texas. It'll be warm. I had plans for after the outdoor education job to learn to go to ranch school. Like, I had all these plans, dude.
That's so funny.
All these fucking plans, man. And and
so good.
I ended up here just by pure circumstance. But it was me trusting in what is it that I'm feeling called to right now? What is it I'm feeling called to right now?
Yeah.
This is it. Here I am. And then I'm glad I fucking stayed. Because I did the connections I've made.
Have you ever heard the I think it's got to be Morgan Freeman. I think it's Morgan Freeman, and he's like staring at the camera, and it's his voice narrating as it like zooms in on his face, and he's talking about listen to your little voice or something like that. Like, everybody has a little voice in their head, that first little voice that tells you the right from wrong and everything. Listen to that little voice, and it zooms in and everything, and I was just like,
all right,
goddamn. All right, I'll try that.
Yeah, dude, that's exactly it, man. And the more you listen to it, the louder it gets,
dude.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the more you don't listen to it, too, the louder it gets. But you get better at drowning it out, and you get better, and you get more used to living. Because when you're not listening to that little voice, you feel disaligned.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like zoned in. Because I listen to the little voice, I feel fulfilled. I feel like I'm myself. I feel like I'm on the path.
Right.
The more you stray away from it, like you get comfortable in suffering and in misery, like we talked about that. Right. Those deeper feelings of, you don't even know how to rationalize it. You get comfortable in them.
Yeah.
And so I think people, it's easy to get comfortable in that, but dude, once you I'd say have the courage to listen to the inner voice. It takes courage.
Yeah.
It life takes off.
Yeah, I always have this fun way of thinking about this, and I thought about it's how much time you take away from like divulging and everything that matters and everything. Like, are you going to take a year, or is it going to be like an afternoon?
Mm.
You know what I mean? And like, everybody can say consistency, consistency, consistency is the answer and all that kind of stuff to like living a balanced and fulfilled life and all that kind of stuff and getting all your shit done. But honestly, the biggest thing is just like, okay, if you're going to go on that gap and everything, how long are you going to let that gap be? Hmm. All right. If you're going to fall off that wagon, how long are you going to let that gap be? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then if you can just close that gap down, just close that gap down. You know what I mean? Instead of taking like weeks off, maybe take just like 4 days off and everything, you know? And if like you feel like you can close that gap a little bit more, you know what I mean? Take like 2 days off.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, and then close that gap a little bit more and everything, and then you got people who will literally just have like one cheat meal a week and everything and look a certain way and be a certain way and all this kind of stuff, and everybody's like, how dude, are they like this?
Yeah,
how is it he's so big, how is he so successful, all these kind of like things, and you're just like, well, I mean, just whittled that gap down.
Over time.
Gap down.
Over time, dude. And it's like we are, as humans, not just in the physical sense, like we are like a brick of marble, dude.
Yeah.
And we're sculpting away just constantly. It's and it's like we can choose to stop sculpting if we want. Like we can put it down. We can take a rest. And I mean, even then, I guess you're still sculpting something. It's like that, you know, whether you're doing it consciously or not. So I think that's what it's really about. What do you choose? Like, what is the conscious choice of that you're going to make? Just, dude, change is going to happen either way. Life is going to happen either way.
I know.
So it's like you might as well take it's almost like a model of radical ownership for all of it. And it's like, all right, dude, it's like me with, as we were talking about before the podcast, eating the fucking sour gummy worms while deadlifting. Yeah, like, I'm gonna make the choice, but maybe it's in theory, is it the best for my health? Would it be better for my health if I never ate a single piece of candy? Of course, probably. You know,
sure.
Red 40. What you want to name off all the fucking ingredients? You could go health nut on it, certainly. But man, it was good for my fucking soul, and it felt good. And it's like when you can take a radical ownership of a choice, and even if it's a choice that in theory, maybe it's not the healthiest choice, maybe it's this. Someone could criticize it.
Risk to benefit ratio,
dude. Exactly.
Were you sitting on that scale, all right? Dude. And how were you sitting when you decided to have
how
those
were
gummies?
You, and I think that's as big of a factor. How you were sitting, man?
How were you sitting when you were having those gummies, man? I bet you were sitting there having the fucking best time.
My God.
Just, I mean, that's beautiful.
It reminded me of sitting there after school in like middle school. I just walked down to CVS and you buy a huge fucking thing of sour gummy worms. Yeah. Dude, and you start chowing down. And because you're in middle school, you just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, man.
Like you eat them.
You don't know.
And you're like, fuck yeah. Fuck, these are sour gummy worms. I'm going to buy a pound and I'm going to eat that shit.
The whole thing right now. Let's go. Yeah, and you didn't think twice.
It's
about
like a
it.
Childlike spirit to it, man. Yeah. that's what it is.
It's good. Yeah, and it's good to tap into that every now and again.
Yeah, for sure, good. Dude.
I said that earlier. You talk about grounding. I should ground your soul.
Exactly, man. That's
good.
That's so beautiful.
I thought about that the other day. If you're gonna have, you know, that cookie, just have that cookie. But like, have like the cookie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like have that one that you want, you know what I mean?
Dude, have the full cookie experience.
Yeah, yeah. Don't have a tray of cookies, you know what I mean? Like, go have a cookie.
Go have a good fucking cookie.
Yeah, enjoy it and just leave it there, you know what I mean? We were talking about that Matthew Frazier, can you actually, I know this is so annoying, but I'm going to ask you to look something up.
Yeah.
How many times did he win World's Fittest...
Matthew Frazier.
Man. Yeah.
Worlds.
Because he was doing a documentary, and on it his wife was, or I guess his girlfriend or fiance.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. I don't know. One
five
of those three.
Five time.
Okay. So five time.
Five time fittest man on earth.
Yeah. So five time fittest man on earth, which I think makes him like the world's history most like, or the history's most fittest man or something like that.
Yeah.
And so
he was on that documentary and his wife was doing all the cooking, and she was saying, if I'm gonna do like, if we're gonna have a dessert and everything, then I make like a cookie for us and everything, and like we'll both have a cookie and everything, but it's gonna be the cookie that I want and everything, and we'll have that one cookie, and I don't have to go have like 12 other cookies and everything like that, just like we just have that one and everything, and then we keep trucking. And it's just like, if you take it to that extreme and everything, you get extreme results.
Exactly, dude. You feel good about the
right.
eating the
so
cookie.
You just find where you're at on that scale and everything, you know,
100% man,
and just keep trucking, you know what I mean? So like, if you're at zero exercises, zero, or you know, a whole rack of cookies a night, if you're at zero meditation a week, if you're at, you know, zero writing in a year, are you at, you know what I mean? Like at the rock bottom of everything, up to, you know, you're on time for everything pretty much every day and you have cheats every now and again. Find where you're at on that scale and everything and just keep plugging away.
Dude.
Just keep plugging away.
100%. And it's, you know, for, it's interesting because like, creatively speaking, you know, I write a lot of poetry. I do a lot of just sitting in that space, a lot of ukulele nowadays. And the creativity, like we can quantify some of it, right? Like the working out and the eating and like we can quantify that down to a science to where we know how to get optimal results. There's also certain things where, let's say creatively speaking, am I going to hold my... there are points where I've been like, I need to hold myself to one poem a week or this, you know, and quantify it. But there's sometimes aspects of life that we have to accept come and go within, like without needing to be quantified. Like if you have a creative practice, and I think it's good to set yourself time to, I'm going to practice, I want to learn this on a ukulele. All right, I'm going to practice this, right? I'm gonna learn. If you're taking on the learning mindset, you do need to quantify and develop time and you'll become better. But sometimes creativity too, like it flows in more than you even create it, right? Yeah. And you need to recognize, like, there's times where I'll write four poems in a week and then not write another one for a month.
Right.
You know? And it's like, because there was not that there's nothing to write about, but...
there's a quote about that. And it's talking about if it is not right, then don't do it. If you don't, like, if you don't love it, don't do it. If you don't, whatever it is, like,
yeah.
Can you look up that quote? I'm so sorry. Lex Fridman said it at some point.
Yeah, for sure. Lex Fridman.
Lex Fridman had said it at some point, but it's somebody else's quote. He just reads it off.
Give me the quote again.
If you love it, don't do it. If it doesn't give you butterflies, don't do it. If it doesn't flow through you, don't do it.
I'm going to look this up. It'll pop up at
this
point.
It will. I'm just trying to think of lines in it.
Let's see. Now, dude, but it's like the whole idea. I kind of live by the idea. If it's not a full fuck yes, then it's a no. That's sort of my attitude around things. I'm surprised it didn't pop up when I typed that in.
You put in Lex Fridman?
Yeah, for sure.
I bet it would pop up.
But yeah, if it's not a full fuck yes, it's a no, right? Mm-hmm. So, and if you're not fully in it, why are you doing it? What is it are you trying to prove your own, like, worth?
Right.
Are you trying to, you know, like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to prove it to yourself? I don't think that's, I'm surprised it's not coming up, bro. But
I'm not gonna lie, I think I heard it was either on like some Joe Rogan podcast probably. But yeah, he said it beautifully and I was like, that sounds about right. I was like, that feels right to me. If it makes sense,
yeah,
you know, if you don't love it, probably shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? We've all had those experiences. I mean, especially probably you and I have experienced a lot, but like a lot of traveling people and a lot of people who put themselves in situations that are kind of like an experiment.
Yeah.
You're like, we'll see how this turns out and everything. And you realize, oh,
an experiment. Dude, that's exactly,
you know what I mean?
It.
And
yeah,
it might not even be a bad situation. It's just a situation that you're just like, why am I wasting my time here? You know what I mean?
100%.
You're just like, I made a bad decision to come here.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I will remember to never say yes to that again.
Right.
And then you kind of know what you're about a little bit more. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And
100%.
You kind of learn it that way. But yeah, it's,
and why,
it's
why would you keep repeating it if it's if
yeah,
it
yeah.
doesn't
so you're
fit.
Like, oh yep, I will now know not to say yes to these people
yep.
when they ask me to come hang out, or I will not go to this place again, because like there's times where I'll even go down a trail and I'm like, I know this, or like I want to go try this place, and then I have like a gut feeling to go another way.
Yeah.
And I go to the same, like the place that maybe somebody else wants to go, or like, you know, I'm being told to go, or whatever it might be, whatever the case may be, but I don't trust my gut and I go the other way and everything. Yeah, it pretty much ends up in like Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
every time.
Like, the sights aren't beautiful and the experience isn't great usually. So
no, exactly. And sometimes it's interesting because that made me think of like somebody could in theory play devil's advocate on that. And say, well, how do you know it's not your own perception?
Right.
And how do you know it's not your own way of going into something with the internal expectation that it's not going to work out?
Right.
And it's like, can we almost, I agree with you in that, like, I've had those exact same scenarios where I'd go against my gut and it backfires immediately. And I think maybe sometimes it was my own perception. I don't always know.
Yeah.
Like, I think I did the best I could to go into scenarios open-minded.
Oh, yeah, I always
ready
do.
To
but
explore.
Yeah, because of the open-mindedness, Mr. Curious George.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And your curiosity will sometimes get you in certain situations that are amazing and beautiful.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, oh, no, what have I done?
Right.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh, this wasn't it. This
mm-hmm.
was not it. You know? I don't know. I just think it's taught me that I'm an idiot. I'll tell you that much. I am
same.
An idiot. I'll tell you that much. And I would not listen to a word I say, but it has taught me quite a bit, and it has, like, from experience. I can only speak from experience, and I feel like it's taught me a lot of really good experiences and a lot of really bad experiences, been able to learn from both, and it's been really fun.
Dude, that's right, the key right there.
Yeah.
Fun. It's fun.
It's been
fun. I do a lot of like tarot, which is, I don't know if you know tarot at all, but it's like there, you know, one of the cards in it, I think you and I live by this, what you might not even know what the card is, but it's called the Fool card. And it's the first, if you think of it in terms of like the hero's journey, you know how like, shit, let's say Frodo's leaving the Shire for the first time, dude. You're out on the beginning, like the shit. I'm spontaneous. I'm naive. I got a level of innocence to me. I'm just, bro, I'm here for the exploration. Let's fucking go. We have no idea.
Let's go.
You know? And it's like, it's almost even sometimes impossible to have expectations about things because you have no idea. It's like, all
right,
I'm just going to go with the flow.
Right.
And it's, I think there's a, it's called the Fool card for a reason. Like, it's a fucking fool. He's got no idea.
Yeah.
Like, and that can be perceived as idiocy, I think, sometimes.
Right.
And it puts us in.
That funny little word, ignorance, comes back into play.
Yeah. But in the same sense, that is how you learn. That is how, embracing that part of yourself. And just, that's how you make the beautiful memories and you experience the highest of the highs. Because you're not, I would say, restricted by your own expectations.
Yeah.
Which is.
But to do that, you also have to, like we said, endure the lowest of the lowest.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
You know what
the
I
full
mean?
Spectrum. The
yeah,
full spectrum.
Exactly.
It's not all rainbows and butterflies
exactly.
and sunshine.
But yeah, you do get to see the most beautiful. Like, I don't feel like I get to cry that often, but I can tell you what, I've had some good cries.
Yeah.
And I have had some really good laughs. And it's been all from those experiences of just saying, fuck it. Like, Let's roll. Let's do it.
The highest of the highs. Dude, I remember I shed tears on sitting on top of Glacier National Park on the fucking iceberg. I went on a grueling, like one of the most grueling hikes I've ever been on. anybody who's listening, there's a something backing up outside. I don't know if y'all can hear the horn. That's what it was. They're going now. Yeah, but anyways, I was sitting, dude, I was sitting on the top of that mountain. It was after one of the most grueling hikes I'd ever been on that I wasn't prepped for. I was wearing like shitty running sneakers. I was, dude, I had barely any water. I brought no food. It was exactly like 5 miles saying, straight up. Yeah. And the last mile, dude, in the last mile stretch was some of the thinnest trail I've ever walked on. You're like walking on the side of a fucking mountain. And I thought, dude, I'm like, holy shit. I might, my legs are so tired. Yeah. I might fall and just go right off.
Oh, that, yeah. No, dude, and there's no surviving
it
that one.
It felt like a real possibility. And, then, and I'm like, holy shit, man. Yeah. There, I can't turn around. Like, shit. So it was, I had to just take on that level of, fuck it, man. I'm going to be the fool. But that was a fool journey, if you will.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That was the fool's journey.
Now looking back on it, like, what did your gut say?
To fucking do it.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. So to fucking do it, dude. The whole
you got to see one of the most beautiful
things. Exactly. And when I got to the top and I sat up there, one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had. Like, yeah. I think it was that moment where I almost kind of had a knowing, yeah, like, shit, I'm meant to be here.
Yeah, that little guy was telling you. He I'm was like this. Dude, you. This, need to be up there.
This is it. And I'm like, now I know why I came out here. I had that thought. Now yeah. I know why I came out here.
Yeah.
And then, dude,
at what point did you realize that you did not have enough shit to get there?
Up to the
to the top.
Dude, it must have been a mile or two. Dude, yeah.
Was there no trail sign that said, like, you know?
Dude, I knew it was 5 miles.
However many miles.
Dude, I thought it was. I knew it was 5 miles. I just thought I was. Dude, I'm just built different. I don't know. I just.
Here,
I just
flat. Not flat out here,
dude. I just had I don't know, it was a
fucked up 5 miles.
It was one of those things where I'm like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna have fun on that hike. That's gonna be a cool hike. I didn't even think about what is necessary for a hike. Like, I didn't even think about that shit. I just went up.
Speaking of taking a hike, we gotta take a hike, bro.
I was gonna say, we're at about hour 15. Hour and a half.
Yeah, bro, I need to strap on my boots, go take a hike. Hey, thank you for having me on here, homie.
Dude, hell yeah.
I love you, brother. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Special thank you to my brother Asa for coming on the Fifth Dimension. I'm glad we were able to make this happen. Next time he's up in Bozeman, or if I even find myself down in Florida, you never know with my traveling spirit. You know, we're definitely going to have more podcasts. And this is just the beginning of a beautiful journey. For the both of us, and for him especially, going into a new scenery and new adventure and chapter of life. You know, with the endings, you plant seeds of new beginnings. And I'm truly excited for him and the journey that he is undertaking. Truly inspirational to watch, especially for somebody who is as young as he is, and to think the way that he does. Such a bright future, such a wonderful person. And what a pleasure to share that space for over an hour and to be able to share it out with you guys. So if you're a fan of the show, head on over to mcdermott.substack.com, deeper meaning. Subscribe over there. It is free to do so. You can do a paid subscription if you want to contribute. I always appreciate donations to the show and that you guys are financially contributing. It's really wonderful. The world is getting a little bit more expensive, so the fact that anybody is willing to give anything just to support this show is truly remarkable. I appreciate you guys for doing so. Definitely helps me survive and keep going. Whatever podcast platform you're on, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I appreciate you guys for subscribing on there. And as I mentioned earlier, tarot readings open by donation. You can go ahead and book one of those from the episode show notes. Let's explore what the path is looking like for you. And stay tuned, because there is going to be more information released soon on the optimization wellness path. We'll call it that. The keys to optimization and unlocking who it is that you truly are. And if you want to go hop on a call and talk about that, episode show notes below. I got all that information in there. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe, because there are going to be more great podcasts coming your way in the very near future. And I shall see you all next time. So long.